Good afternoon, everyone. It's no longer Tom Abbott, but thanks for getting the news started today, Tom. This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Wednesday, May the 4th. I'm Angela Denning. The Little Norrie Festival is perhaps the biggest event in Petersburg all year. It's just weeks away, and as local businesses prepare for tourists and residents meandering downtown streets, the town's Chamber of Commerce comes under new leadership. Marla Tomsky has taken over as administrative manager. This is her first week on the job alone. She was trained last week by John Haverlick, who retired from the position after taking over the chamber last fall. I spoke with Marla Tomsky about the change in the office.
We're just weeks away from Mayfest, which is kind of the biggest event of the year for the chamber.
Well, back-to-back weekends, actually, for the chamber, Mayfest and Salmon Derby is one of their biggest events as well. So they're involved in both of those.
Okay, so what's up taking over the reins at this point in the game?
Well, I'm jumping in with both feet, and I've already met with the committees, which, quite honestly, the Mayfest committee is kind of a train that runs itself. They have some very competent people on the committee that do a great job every year. Janet Holton is the chair this year, and she's been around for quite a few years, and all of the planning for that is going really great, so I can help and support with that without feeling too overwhelmed. Salmon Derby is right on track so far. Been receiving a lot of donations for that, and it'll now just be kind of puzzle piecing everything together and looking for volunteers to help support during those events.
So why is the position opening now, like right before Mayfest and then the Salmon Derby?
So John Haverlick was the previous director, and he has decided to step down and go back into true retirement and take the summer easy.
You're on the school board. Your family moved from up north, right?
We moved from Fairbanks in 2011.
Yep. Yeah. So why did you seek the job out, or what part of the job are you interested in?
I graduated with a degree in organizational communication, which also had components of marketing, event planning. So it kind of all falls into my previous education background. And I was ready for something new. It's been officially a year since I was a stay-at-home mom in between my last two jobs. So I was ready for something. And the chamber job has flexibility that I like. It's part-time, seasonal as well. So there were a lot of things that fell into line with my wants plus my interests. So the planning portions of it, the being involved in the community, the supporting businesses and making Petersburg a strong economic place that supports the whole family, the workers, and then my involvement with the school board helps support strong schools that keep people here in Petersburg. So I'm just looking for Petersburg to grow and to stay a city that I can be here long term.
Marla Tomsky is the new manager of Petersburg's Chamber of Commerce. She says they are looking for new businesses to become members of the chamber. They are also looking for volunteers to support the chamber's booths during Mayfest. The chamber's telephone number is 772-3646. The Legislative Council approved spending up to $12.5 million to buy the Wells Fargo Bank building in Anchorage's Spinard neighborhood. The building would be used for legislative offices and to provide a venue for public testimony. The council turned to the building after Governor Bill Walker threatened to veto $32 million that the council planned to spend to buy the Anchorage Legislative Information Office. A judge found the council violated the competitive bidding law and invalidated the state's LIO lease. Council Chairman, Kodiak Republican Senator Gary Stevens, says the Wells Fargo building could be a better deal than having legislators use space in the state's Atwood building. The bank would continue to rent first-floor retail space.
It would cost probably less, and in the end, we would own the building. Not that we don't own the state building, the Atwood, but it is the governor's to use primarily.
The Anchorage Downtown Partnership asked the council to keep the office downtown, saying that moving it would conflict with municipal plans. But Stevens noted that lawmakers have had offices in Midtown in the past.
Just an enormous problem downtown is the parking. You know, we in our current building we have plenty of space for our legislators, but not much space for the public.
In other action, the Legislative Council voted to release the late Representative Max Gruenberg's papers to his widow, Kayla Epstein. The council also set up a process for releasing records of legislators who die to their families. A lawyer for the Legislative Services Agency advised legislators that Gruenberg's papers were protected by legislative immunity after the Anchorage Democrat's death in February. Could Skagway go 3 months without ferry service? The Alaska Department of Transportation is planning a $6 million ferry dock refurbishment that would ideally happen this winter. The project would take the dock out of commission for a couple of months, which DOT says could leave Skagway without marine highway service. But DOT and the municipality are trying to work out a solution so that doesn't happen. KHNS's Emily Files reports from Haines.
It's an old dock, and it continues to deteriorate, and the longer we put off the refurbishment project, the more expensive it becomes for the state.
Jeremy Woodrow is spokesman for DOT. His agency met with Skagway leaders in recent weeks to discuss what to do with the ferry dock.
Right now what we're doing with maintenance costs is basically putting band-aids on an issue that needs to be fixed sooner than later.
Let's talk about that sooner option. If DOT refurbishes the dock this winter, Woodrow says it would cause a 3-month disruption in service. Borough manager Scott Hahn doesn't like that option.
We'd have to survive. You'd get on with, but I don't know how you make up for that, because there's so many people that rely on being able to get over to Juneau for dental appointments and health appointments and making other connections, and it's huge.
Without ferry service, Skagway residents would have to rely on flights, which are iffy in the winter, and the highway, which is also at the mercy of winter weather.
It's a very difficult thing for us to handle, because we don't really have a road. You know, if you can say we can drive up into Canada, but the Canadian border is not open all day long, you know, so there's difficulties there. And then getting to somewhere else in Alaska is mind-blowing as far as how many miles it is.
Woodrow says DOT doesn't want to cut off Skagway from ferry service.
We're trying to exhaust all of our options before we really say that there will be service disrupted.
One of those options is to put off the refurbishment until next winter. Woodrow says the Matanuska is scheduled for engine replacement then, which means the Kennecott may fill in for the Mat. If it does, the Kennecott would be able to make port calls at one of Skagway's other docks. Woodrow says there's a very specific reason the Kennecott would need to be the fill-in ferry.
Really the only options we have for providing vehicle service is through the existing dock, using the ramps that are on that dock, as well as the vehicle doors that are in the current Marine Highway System fleets, or to use the Kennecott, which has a vehicle elevator that could then call on one of the cruise ship docks.
Even if the project were delayed to winter of 2017 and the Kennecott filled in, Skagway would see severely reduced service. Woodrow says the Kennecott would sail all the way to and from Prince Rupert, so it would make just 1 or 2 port calls in Skagway per week. This Thursday, the Borough Assembly plans to discuss the dock refurbishment options and decide whether to request DOT postpone the project until next winter. Woodrow says the downside to delay is that the state will have to keep making band-aid repairs. It would be more cost-effective to get the project done as soon as possible.
We are still exploring every option possible to see if there is a way that we can provide service to Skagway while the dock is being worked on, even if it means passenger only, foot traffic only, no vehicles. We're still looking at all options before we say that service will be disrupted for a certain time period.
Woodrow says DOT will continue talking to Skagway officials about the possibilities. He says the department will probably make a decision about when to refurbish the ferry dock by the end of the summer. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Researchers in Kodiak want to open up new markets and expand existing ones for a popular fish product. This delicacy is what you might imagine people at cocktail parties eating over stock market discussions. It's also good with tortilla chips. We are talking about roe, fish eggs, which in Alaska come from species like salmon, herring, and pollock. Roe produced in the United States is especially popular in East Asian markets, according to statistics from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, and the Kodiak researchers write in their project proposal that the majority of pollock roe goes to Japan and South Korea. Now they hope to market alternative forms of Pollock Row to East Asian countries, including China, Japan, and South Korea. KMXT's Kayla DeRoche has more from Kodiak.
The two researchers from the University of Alaska Fairbanks School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences have just secured funding and will now gather data and brainstorm ideas. Chris Sanito, a seafood technology specialist, says pollock roe can be a tricky food.
I would say it's kind of mild tasting in the raw state, but once it's cooked, it develops a little bit of a metallic flavor, so not very desirable.
Which is why it'll take experimentation to develop product forms that flatter pollock roe's flavor profile. And with roe value declining across all markets, it might be a good time for some innovation. A report from NOAA Fisheries says pollock roe value is at a historic low, yet it still brings in the high profit. According to the same report, the average price of pollock roe was a little more than $6 per kilo in 2014. That's compared to the second most expensive product, pollock fillets, which cost about half as much at $3.30 per kilo. Sanito and his research partner, Quentin Fong, write in their proposal that they want to cater to tastes in East Asian countries. They plan to come up with possible products and do consumer studies. However, first comes a lot of brainstorming, a lot of research, and a lot of consultation. Sanito says nothing is off the table.
We're going to look at a lot of different ways to use pollock roe, and I mean, there's already in development, you know, people looking at salad dressings with pollock roe. In Japan, a very popular way to eat pollock roe is cracked or just opened up onto hot pasta, and it's kind of clings to the spaghetti noodles.
The project recently won almost $69,000 in funding from the Pollock Conservation Cooperative Research Center. Sanito says the first part of research will be looking at product concepts, which they'll start doing in the next few weeks. I'm Kayla DeRoche.
Non-traditional students who overcome challenges to succeed in academics was the overriding theme during last weekend's University of Alaska Southeast Ketchikan campus graduation ceremony. KBD's Layla Carey joined hundreds of well-wishers at the event and has this report.
When you hear the words college student, you usually picture a fresh-faced young person in their late teens or early 20s. And there were a few of those on stage during the 2016 UAS Ketchikan commencement. But as UAS Chancellor Richard Caulfield notes, many UAS graduates are non-traditional and must persevere through challenges that younger students don't always have to face.
I was thinking about what word sort of captures the quality of many of our students, ones who don't necessarily come right out of a high school environment or come from a family where college has been a part of their experience. And I went back to the dictionary, and the word that sticks with me is that perseverance.
All of the UAS Ketchikan graduation speakers talked about the many extra challenges non-traditional students have to overcome. But as Caulfield encouraged the audience to demonstrate, they don't do it alone.
The parents and the guardians and the grandparents of our graduates today, would you please stand and stay standing?
A fair percentage of the audience stood up.
And then how about the brothers and the sisters and aunties and uncles of the graduates who are graduating today, if you would please stand and stay standing?
A few more rose.
And how about the children of the graduates today? It's great, I see them over here standing up, that's terrific. And how about the grandparents of some of the graduates who are here today? A few over here. That's great. How about the family and the friends of our graduates who are here today? Please stand.
By now, the entire audience was on its feet.
So graduates, we know how important, I know you know how important these individuals have been to your success. Please join me in thanking all of your family and friends for their support.
Retired adjunct instructor Biz Robbins gave the commencement address. She also talked about the challenges her students have faced, and then she listed some of the other C words her students have shown.
Like courage and commitment and communication and collaboration and clarity and confidence.
Student speaker Helen Mickle, graduating cum laude with a bachelor's degree in business administration and accounting, talked about another C word. A challenge that nearly derailed her education goals.
I was working on an associate's degree in business administration when I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2009. The diagnosis set me back a couple of semesters as I went through surgery, radiation, chemo. But with the love and support of my husband and family, I persisted and graduated with that associate's degree in 2011. With that success, I was motivated to complete my bachelor's degree and immediately enrolled in more classes. However, just a few months in, I received another diagnosis. This time it was colon cancer. It was a higher stage cancer. It was more serious. And the chemo cocktail that was prescribed to me, it took me down.
Mickle says she almost gave up on college, but again, with the support of family, instructors, and friends, she says she, like many other students who face seemingly insurmountable hurdles, persevered.
I'm glad I didn't give up, and I am so happy to be here celebrating with you today.
Mickle received a standing ovation at the close of her comments. Soon after, the audience rose for another ovation, this time for the recipient of the UAS Ketchikan Meritorious Service Award. It went to Larry Painter, a longtime advocate for sustainable fisheries in the region. Here's Chancellor Caulfield introducing Painter.
His efforts laid the groundwork for the establishment of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute and have brought about important beneficial changes in Alaska's sustainable fisheries. While Larry is quite an unassuming man, he is held in high esteem and is known as a standard bearer, an innovator, and a gentleman.
And a third standing ovation went to all the graduates as UAS Ketchikan Campus Director Priscilla Schulte instructed them in the final act marking their achievements.
With the turning of the tassels from right to left, we signify the completion of your journey from student to graduate. Please turn your tassels.
And then everyone was invited to enjoy some cake. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
I'm Angela Denning. This wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. Thanks for listening.